Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And that is also on Blog Talk Radio, so you can stop by there. There's a different teacher just about every day there, so you'll get some good listening, some good teaching for you to uplift you in these days. Don't we need to be uplifted? We are certainly living in some very crazy times, and I guess all of us are going through our trials and tribulations, whatever they might be. You just never know nowadays with all the things that are going on in the world and with all the volcano in Hawaii. It's amazing really how this lava is just pouring out and destroying people's homes. It's very, very sad, and there's really nothing you can do about it. And they can't even clean up after these type of events. It's like that stuff is stuck there forever. But also, we have so many sex scandals going on in the world, especially, I guess, more to come in the church. Pride is a funny thing, because when people fall into pride, and they start thinking more of themselves than they really are, then they start, most of the times, especially with men, they fall into adultery, and then they can't stop their lust. They, especially when they become rich and powerful, and without the Holy Spirit guiding them, they just do anything. And so we're seeing one after another of some of these very powerful men, especially in Hollywood. Just the other day they had Harvey Weinstein, and he was very powerful in Hollywood. But he couldn't control himself. He was just taking advantage of women. And if he sees somebody that he liked or somebody that he lusted after, he would just go after the person. And he's been accused of raping people. And the casting couch, which I know probably is very real. It even happens in some Christian circles, believe it or not. But where women have to prostitute themselves to get these big roles in Hollywood. And just imagine that one day you're working over at a pancake house, and then all of a sudden you're making millions and millions of dollars in these movies, and sometimes you have to sell yourself out to get these parts from these producers, because most of the time, and even you find it in Christianity, because today we're going to talk about Jesse Duplantis, and he tells people that they have to give money to get money, and that's just how it works. And so it's basically the same idea in the world. You have to give something, for the women, they have to put out, and to get something back. And it's a form of prostitution, really, but it goes on all the time. And so we're seeing these names coming up more and more, and I'm sure the natural man without God and without the restraint of the Holy Spirit, they're just capable of anything. So it's very, very sad. And some of the women, I imagine, some of the women just gave in because they wanted the roles, and some of them didn't want to prostitute themselves, and they were afraid to speak out, and so they lost their careers, they lost their livelihoods because they wouldn't play the political game that was played in Hollywood. And we see that in the so-called church today, that if you don't play the political game and you don't talk about their Jesus, the Jesus you have to pay off, well, then you're not welcome, and you're ostracized or you're shunned by that group. But who cares, really? It's more important to be accepted by God, isn't it, than to be accepted by the world, because the world's not going to love us. the world is not going to love us, and the false church is not going to love us, especially when you start messing around with their money, because they're guided by their lust to the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we see that day in and day out, the love of money and what it does to people. It can really destroy people. I don't understand why people can't just be happy with what they have, as far as being happy in a day in and day out, and believing God, trusting God to give us what he thinks we could handle, because it's like the Bible says, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there's a reason why Jesus said that. He knows what he's talking about. When people have money, they can have power. They can buy judges. They can buy police officers. They can buy politicians. Money can buy a lot of things. Well, it can't buy happiness. It can't buy peace. It can't buy joy. All those things come from God. So you can't get those things with money. And people, even though they have money, they go through divorces, they go through suicides, they go through bankruptcies, they go through all kinds of things that normal people go through. They have their sorrows and they have their trials too. But then again, of course, their money can buy them things that possibly we can't get, because we don't have the kind of power that they do. But you even see it in the government today. You see what's been going on with this. These people are spying on these people and making false accusations. I think it's the wildest thing I've ever seen, because they used to say that in the Soviet Union they had propaganda, and they had these, basically, when they would be reporting the news. Well, this is what we were told here anyway, because I don't understand Russian, so I don't know how they were reporting the news over there. But there was fake news. They would just make things up, and there would be propaganda. So you just keep saying the same thing over and over again, and people start to believe it. So I'm seeing the same thing now on some of the news networks, where they just make up stories. They have people come on one after the other and just lie about things. And as they keep lying, they keep stirring people up. And so then you want to believe the lie instead of seeking out the truth. But it's the same thing with the news media, is you can't believe the soundbite. You can't just, you heard something on the news, so then it must be true. No. You have to go and do the research and find the clip, find the video, find the audio, and find out what was really said. Just like when you're doing Bible study, you can't just take anybody's word for it. You have to go back and you have to look at it yourself, because a lot of these prosperity teachers, especially, they'll tell you anything. They just make up any kind of a scripture, or take a scripture out of context and make up any kind of a teaching just to get you to give them some money. And then, like Jesse Duplantis, he doesn't want to brag, but he brags all the time. He just brags all the time about all the money he has and how he got the money. He got the money by sowing seed in good ground, and he's a tither, and he gives first fruits, and he just brags and brags. Well, Jesse Duplantis has a church, and he collects tithes. So he collects a lot of money in tithes, and that's not faith, okay? That's not living by faith when you're telling people they have to give you 10%. So what are you bragging for? I'd be filthy rich, too, if I was collecting tithe money from a couple thousand people every week. That's not the way God gets you rich. Oh, anyway. They're so puffed up, and they're so full of themselves, and especially Jesse Duplantis. He wants to tell you how you can get rich too. He doesn't want to brag, but he tells you about his 35,000 square foot mansion that he's got, and he's got jets, and he's got more money than he'll ever spend, and he's got enough money to leave to his daughter and to his granddaughter, and maybe he got some of that money with legitimate business dealings, possibly. But a lot of that money came from tithes. And there's no tithing in the New Testament. Even tithing in the Old Testament was never money. There was never any money exchanged. The only time that there was money involved in tithing is when they were told that they could take their tithe. If they were bringing their tithe, which was food, crops, to the storehouse, that if they couldn't get there, they could sell their tithe, and then they could get the money, and then they could buy whatever they wanted with it. Well, you don't hear those kind of sermons preached today. They tell you that, Jesse tells you that if you don't pay your tithe, your air conditioner is going to go out, and you know, God's like the mafia, that if you don't give him his money, he doesn't protect you. It's just ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, yet there's people sitting in the audience there, and they're clapping for him, and they're applauding for him. And I'm thinking, well, this is really the blind leading the blind over here, because the only way I know how to get money in this world, the only way I know how to get money, the surefire way to get money, is you have to work. You work, you work, you work, you work, you accumulate wealth, you don't spend more than you have, you make good investments. That's how you get money. You don't get money by going to church and sowing seeds so that you can get something back. That's not how you get money. I guarantee you, if you took a survey, if you're going to a church, especially where they teach tithing and they teach seed sowing, take a survey. Let's take a survey this Sunday. Let's see how many people in here are out of debt. How many people in here, after you've been seed sowing and tithing, raise your hands if you are out of debt. And I would guarantee you that maybe out of 1,000 people, there might be 10 people. There might be 10 people in there that they're out of debt. They don't have a mortgage. They don't have a car payment. They don't have a student loan, blah, blah, blah. So it's not working for them. It's not working for them. Anyway, but it works for the prosperity preachers, because the latest news from Jesse Duplantis was that Jesse needs a new jet. He needs, and not an ordinary jet. Not an ordinary jet. Jesse needs a $54 million jet. Whoa. Whoa. I'm telling you. And you know what? He'll probably get it. He'll probably get it. He's got to preach the gospel. He's got to preach the gospel, Jesse. Yeah. And the thing is with Jesse, now I don't know what kind of humanitarian work he ever does with his jet. I don't really know that. But I guarantee you that most of the time when Jesse goes in his jet, he's going somewhere where he's going to get a big offering. He's traveling from place to place and country to country, and he's getting offerings. And you know what? A lot of times it's nice to visit other countries. It's nice to go visit the brethren in other countries, but they have preachers there. They have preachers there. Why do they have to bring Jesse Duplantis in, say, bring him into Nigeria, and it costs $50,000 to bring him there, because by the time he flies his jet over there for the gas and then his honorarium, and you've got preachers there. You've got preachers there. So why don't you just bless the people in your own country and let Jesse stay home for his $50,000 or whatever it is. But that's mainly how these people use their jets, is they just go flying all over the place and collecting more money. But they're telling you that they have to go and preach the gospel. Well, there's plenty of people in Nigeria that know how to preach, and there's plenty of people in Russia that know how to preach, and there's plenty of people in China that know how to preach. There's preachers all over the place. So, for instance, if you're bringing somebody in like T.D. Jakes, and it was reported by someone, he worked for one of these youth ministries. I can't think of it right now, but if it comes to me, I'll let you know. But he was working for one of these youth ministries. He actually came out on the internet and he published an expose. And he was saying that they wanted to bring T.D. Jakes in for a fundraiser. So, of course, they have to get all this paperwork from his office about his requirements. Now, you know, T.D. Jakes, he's a big shot. So you have to give him $100,000 honorarium. $100,000. You know, most of us don't make that 10 years. $100,000? What are you kidding me? For 40 minutes of talking a bunch of nonsense? I never know what T.D. Jakes is even saying. I personally, I have never listened to one of his total sermons. Never. I've listened to bits and pieces of him, and he seems like he talks in circles. I don't even know what the guy's talking about. And so you had to give him $100,000 honorarium, number one. Then you had to pay his fuel for his private jet, which who knows how much that could have been. Then you had to get him, I think, special candies, imported chocolates or whatever. But it's like I would say, T.D., stay home, okay? Forget about it. Look, I know much better preachers than T.D. Jakes, so give me a break. But, this was for a youth ministry, one of the big youth ministries. I think the guy's first name is Juan something, Catch the Fire, or one of those, anyway. But it was one of the guys that worked on staff, he couldn't take it anymore, so he came out and he wrote this expose about the whole thing. And that's what more and more people need to do. If you're working for some of these big ministries and you see all this nonsense that's going on, and you need to take a stand and say, wait, enough already. If somebody's coming and they're preaching, if they can't come to a church without a whole list of, you have to do this for me and you have to do that for me, and then they're saying they're, because they're not coming to preach the gospel, they're coming for themselves. They don't care about you. If they can't come to your church or to your ministry and say, look, I'm coming, I don't require anything. I mean, it's fine. If you want to give me something, that's fine. But I'm going to come. If God tells you to go someplace, you go. You don't say, I'm coming, but it's going to cost you $100,000 for me to come for me because I'm special. It's so ridiculous. And I can't even believe people do it anymore. But It's kind of like the rock stars of the apostate church. And it is an apostate church. It is an apostate church because anybody could preach. You can preach on Blog Talk Radio. You can preach on YouTube. Still, I don't know how long that's going to last because of the censoring that's going on and the censoring that's going on Facebook and these different outlets where, you know, they want to censor Christians, but they're not censoring people that curse on there and people that, you know, like are half naked on there. No, they're not censoring them, but they're censoring Christian conservative speech. That's what they have to censor. I guess they think we're dangerous. Yeah, dangerous to the devil. That's who we're dangerous to. So, but anyway, it's ridiculous. And I can't believe in this day and age, all the good Bible teaching that's out there that people still fall for this stupidity, but they want a get-rich-quick scheme. They like the idea of that. They like the idea of, look, I don't have to work. I don't have to watch my budget. I can just do whatever I want, and then I'm going to go down to the church, and I'm going to give 10%, and I'm going to sow seeds, and I'm going to give alms. I'm going to do all those things so I can get God's protection plan, because Jesse tells you that if you do all these things, you get God's, because he talks about his God now, his God, not the God we know, but his God is a mafia protection boss. Jeff. You have to pay him a certain amount of money. Otherwise, he doesn't protect you. He curses you. You'll never get rich unless you do it the way Jesse tells you to do it. And you have to give his God cash. You have to give his God cash. Otherwise, because Jesse tells you, he says, I did it this way. This is how I got rich. This is how I got my 35,000 square foot, 35,000 square foot house. 35. Yeah. How many rooms can you live in? Okay, that's fine. That's fine if somebody's wealthy, they made their own money, honestly, buy any kind of house that you want. But when you made most of your money from tithing, there is no such thing as tithing money, and never was. We give freely. Even the Old Testament, they talked about free will offerings and giving freely and giving willingly from the heart. Even they talked about it, but Jesse and his crew, they don't mention that because they don't want you to know that. They want to keep you under their protection plan. The Jesse Duplantis mafia connection protection plan. But I was going over a couple of these tapes today, videos of Jesse Duplantis. Oh, honestly, what a messed up guy. Oh, yeah, and Jesse, even, he wants you to believe that took him to heaven. Now, he says he doesn't know if he went in his body or out of his body to heaven. He doesn't really know how it happened, but he knows he was there. And he even tells a story. Now, imagine this. Now, God gave us his word, right? And it says in God's word that Jesus is coming again, right? Right? We know that he's coming. He said he's coming again. But Jesse says that Jesus told him to tell my people I'm coming again. And then Jesse said, well, Lord, they already know that. And the Lord got real stern with him and said, no, they don't know it. That's why I need you to tell them. Oh, okay. Oh, fine. All right. It wasn't good enough that God tells us in his word. Now, that's not good enough. But Jesse's special, so we have to listen to what he's saying. But anyway, here's an audio, and this is Jesse's audio about God's protection plan here.
I'm a first fruits giver. I am an alms giver. Oh, but I am one major seed giver. I've learned something from Kenneth Copeland probably 20-something years ago that I never forgot, was that beware that people try not to make you their source. Now, a lot of people try to make me their source. And you shut me down, and you shut God down. Now, what you heard tonight, you are responsible for. How many of y'all want to stop having financial trouble and let the blessing flow? I just gave you, he said, I don't believe it. I don't care if you don't. You're going to stay broke or you're going to stay even. But I will not stay. 34 years of full-time ministry, but you never have a deficit? That's unheard of. I'm not bragging on myself because I don't, certainly don't have as much faith as Bill Winston does. My Lord, he got a Joseph school and he bought them all. Got his own bank. That's good. Nothing wrong with that, glory to God. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not talking about, what I'm saying is if you keep these things the way they are spoken by God Almighty, he has no other choice but to protect you in every manner, in every way, every. It's truly amazing. I'm not bragging. I don't want you to think that. I give God glory because you see me, I can live in a treehouse. I love my home, don't misunderstand me. But I didn't build it to show off. I built the dream. And I asked God to let my mama see it in heaven. Because at 5 years old, I turned around her at an 8 foot wide, 32 foot trailer sleeping on the floor, me and my oldest brother. I mean, poor is just church. Why is a church rat poorer than a regular rat? You ever know that? Poor is a church rat. You ever know that? They say church rat. They're church rat. Poorer than a regular rat. Lord Jesus. Isn't that sad? That's sad, isn't it? And I remember watching Gone with the Wind on a black and white television. I don't even know where we got that television bill. We didn't have a television. It might be Mama bought it. I don't know how we got it. And a five-year-old don't think this way. I said, Mama, I'm going to build a house like the movies. Shut up, boy. You poor. You're sleeping on the floor. I remember it hurt my feelings, but I didn't say nothing. Actually, I forgot it until about 4 years ago. And the Lord says, you remember the dream, and I don't even dream. I'm not a dreamer. I work so much, I just sleep. I'm like a horse. I can sleep standing up. You got to grab it when you can. When you travel as much as I travel, you got to grab it when you can. I mean, that's true. I just do it. And that's why I named my home La Maison de Rêve. Or if you're in another part of France, La Maison de Rêve. And yet a lot of people in New Orleans call it the Rêve's house. It's not to show off. And it is a plantation home. And it is a mansion. And what makes a mansion? Big. I don't care how pretty your home is. If it ain't big, it ain't no mansion. But if it's big, that's a mansion. And it's big. Kathy has to, she got a thing on the phone to find me. Well, yeah, you know, and I'm not bragging. Listen, if I can do this, you definitely can do this. You know what my father wants to do? And I close with this. I got it. It's funny to me. My dad's 89. When you're 89 years old, or going to be 89, you can say anything you want. You know, when people get that old, they can say anything, anywhere, anyhow, anytime. I don't care if they cuss. People just go, well, because they old. He said, what are you going to do with this thing, Justin? I said, well, Daddy, my only heir is my daughter, Jody, and my grandma. Oh, son, my daddy loved Huey Long. Huey Long and FDR. Next to Jesus Christ, ooh, Huey Long. See, he's trying to get some of that anointing. He's tired living in the weeds.
Yeah, Jesse says, if he could do it, you could do it. Well, I'm not collecting 10% from a few thousand people every week, Jesse. Jesse, come on. Tell the truth over there, Jesse. Will you please? Yeah, he's got a mansion, all right. Yeah, he's got a mansion. 35,000 square feet. Here's another clip.
River. Construction began in October of 2008. The house has 35,000 square feet of covered space. Inside, there will be 5 bedrooms, more than 7 bathrooms, and a home theater. Parish records show the cost is $3 million. The owner of the house, not Duplantis, but his ministry, Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
donors expect the money to be used for the poor and needy, not for huge mansions for the pastor.
Pete Evans works for Ole Anthony at the Trinity Foundation. Both say Duplantis teaches and lives the prosperity gospel.
If you give X amount of dollars, you're going to get that multiplied and given back to you. And so it's kind of a heavenly Las Vegas in one sense.
According to Duplantis, the gospel has worked for him.
So I'm driving down on Highway 167 going toward Lafayette, Louisiana. This is years and years ago. And there was a citation jet that flew over my head. Well, I passed by the airport. And the Lord said, look up. Since you want to see something. And I looked up. And the first thing, he said, I'm going to give you one like that.
Duplantis says the Lord told him he would get his own private plane.
I'm figuring, John, how I'm going to pay for this? How I'm going to sustain this? Because I'm thinking of my Toyota. And the Lord set me free with this statement. Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I ask you to believe for it.
And years later, Duplantis got that plane. Here's a picture of it. The photographer says he took it to the state of Washington in 2007. And another picture claimed to have been taken in London again in 2007. Duplantis is currently using his third different jet and has been a frequent flyer. Duplantis blocks his flight records, but Fox 8 News managed to get a copy. Since 2000, Duplantis has used his plane nearly 2,500 times. Plane owned by his ministry.
It appears as though, on the surface, as though Duplantis is using his jet to fly to go on vacation from time to time.
Like in 2009, when Jesse Duplantis Ministries' plane took a 17-day trip to Hawaii, hopping from island to island. We spoke to one airplane operator who has the same jet as Duplantis. By his calculations, this Hawaii trip cost his ministry $40,000 to gas up, fly, and store the plane at the airport in Hawaii for 17 days. Records show he took an 11-day Hawaii trip this year, too, in early March. Jesse Duplantis Ministries jet has also taken 11 different trips to Las Vegas. He's also been to Canada, England, but the majority of his flights do appear to be for church work.
If a CEO of GM needs a plane, or if a CEO of whatever, that's okay with me. Well, if a CEO of a ministry needs a plan to go preach the gospel and get back to his church, that's okay with me.
Duplantis' congregants say his big house and private plane don't bother them.
That's his personal business. I think God is blessing him. He gives to people, and he gets back. Whatever you give back.
While the church is paying for the house and plane, his parishioners say they don't believe their donations fund his lifestyle.
I don't think church money is going towards that. But I'd love to give to it, because whatever you sow is what you receive. So I'd love a big, beautiful house, and I'd love a plane, too.
The Trinity Foundation says there's no truth behind the prosperity gospel, and Duplantis' actions mirror many televangelists across the country.
Unfortunately, this is becoming more and more common, where the preachers are using, at best, suspicious business dealings to hurt the church and benefit themselves.
A huge home, a plane that's sometimes used for personal use, all benefits the Trinity Foundation says shouldn't be possible for a man of God.
He doesn't believe in a home.
Yeah, Jesse's making out okay over there, you know. He's making out okay, but, you know, notice the people in his church. Well, you know, we don't believe he's using church money to fund his lifestyle. And, well, she says, you know. Yes, yeah, so anyway, if you lose me, just hang in there. I'll get back on. Oh, dear. Anyway, you know. Jesse, like the lady says, she says, well, you know, I could give, and if you give, you're going to get something back, and I sure would like a big house and a plane. Well, that's real Christianity in action, isn't it? That's the Christianity that they're trying to sell you, is it's the selfish Christianity. We give because we want to get. I give money because I want a big house and I want a big car. Never mind what the Bible says about love your neighbor as yourself, and you give to bless other people. That's real Christianity, is we give to bless other people, not so that we bless ourselves back and think about, well, if I give this house away, I'm going to get a bigger and a better house. Anyway, it's ridiculous, and that's not Christianity. That's a false Christianity that they teach. And it makes selfish Christians, and we have too much selfish Christianity going on out there. I mean, like, it's like enough already. And who can stand it? Let's look at some scriptures about pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 29:23. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. I don't think Jesse read that one. Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Jesse read those scriptures. He must have bypassed those. he bypassed those, I think. Yeah, he was bypassing those scriptures. Oh, dear. It's like, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Yeah, last week when I was broadcasting, and I broadcasted at a different time. I broadcasted, I think, on Sunday, and it was 7:00 at night. I didn't get so many disconnections. I don't know if it's because on a Saturday they're busier than at other times. And I just, all of a sudden, the thing just disconnects on me. I don't think I had one disconnection last week. But anyway, bear with me. If I lose you, I'll be back. Okay, trading. But anyway, let's hear more of Jesse. And now, here's Jesse and Kenneth Copeland talking about why they have to have airplanes.
Brother Copeland, I was flying home from a meeting, and I had come out of a glorious meeting. I just spent me and Buffalo Dollar were preaching. Had a glorious meeting. So I was, for lack of a better way to say it, I was spiritually high. People were saved, touched, and blessed. Out in the plane that God so graciously gave us, we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement. I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. He said, then he said this, so that's it? I didn't know how to handle that, but I went, what? He said, you're going to let your fate stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilot looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying. I said, Lord, I don't think I was letting my faith stagnate. He said, so this is all I could ever do. I said, you're trying to tell me something. He said, go to the book of Amos. So if you're at the book of Amos, I want to read the scripture.
May I interrupt you there,
yes, sir?
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy said, no, sir. What the hell does he think he's doing?
He can't do that.
He can't do that. No. This is so important. And those of you that are just now coming into these things, in the first place, Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have the mess that the airlines are in today. I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there
and
from here.
It's impossible.
So and this was in such a good illustration, I just, the Lord impressed me. That's why we're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Glory
we
God.
Can, we, it's true. It's, when I was flying for Oral Roberts, Brother Deweese, my boss on the airplane, he said, "Now, Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing on Brother Roberts." And he said, "You keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to him unless he talks. Because when he's on a meeting, he doesn't talk to anybody but God." Now, Oral used to fly airlines.
Right.
But even back there then, man, it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit.
Sure.
People coming up to him. He
right.
had become famous, and they wanted him to pray for him and
right.
all that. You can't manage that today.
Right.
This dope-filled world.
Right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly the
And it's deadly.
And it works on your heart. It really does.
So I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, "See that, them preachers spending all that money just fat cats riding around." No, we're not. We're in business to do it. Listen, I could scratch my flying itch with my little single-engine open cockpit airplane.
Right.
I just come home, fly around in that, scratch my flying itch. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. But
right.
we're in soul business here.
Right.
Yeah.
We got a dying world around us. We got a dying nation around us.
That's right.
And we can't even get there on the
earth. You can't. Let me give you an example before I read the scripture. Some people say, "Why do you need an airplane?" It started out about a couple of weeks ago. I was in Fort Worth. I preached on a Friday night and a Saturday. I was in Fort Worth preaching for Jerry Savelle. Sunday morning, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. Monday, I was in New Orleans. Tuesday, I was in Chicago. Wednesday, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thursday, I was in New Orleans. Friday, I was in San Antonio, Texas. Saturday, I was in New Orleans. Sunday, I was in another city. I actually have a Delta captain that lives close to my house. I brought him that schedule. I said, "Can you fly this?" He said, "No, and I wouldn't." When do you sleep? We're about the
on the airplane.
On the airplane. The whole way I grab it, see?
Yeah.
Now, when God is speaking this to me, he said, "So this is all I could ever do." And I'm thinking, in myself, well, yeah, I mean, you know, this is a phenomenal aircraft you're giving us. He said, then when he said, "You're going to let your faith stagnate," now that caught my attention. When God tells you your faith stagnate,
yeah.
you better start listening.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, stagnating?
You can't stay here.
Yeah.
You got to do this or you're going to do this.
He said this, "You're on cruise control. You're moving, but no longer by your power." See?
That's what the DVD is about.
That's what that DVD is about.
Yeah,
he said, "You're moving, but no longer by your power." You see, you're just doing this.
Chapter 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not."
You know, I guess the most ridiculous part of that conversation is Dennis and Jesse said, "Can't talk to God on a regular airplane." No, you can't do that. You know, you can't talk to God on a regular airplane. Oh no, just us peons, right? We can talk to God on airplanes. Not them. No, they can't talk to God. They have to have their own private $54 million jet to talk to God on an airplane. And then the most ludicrous statement that came out of that whole bunch of gibberish was the fact that there's demons on those tubes, there's demons on those planes, and they can't be around that. But yet they have to go out and save a lost and dying world. they have to go out and save a lost and dying world, but they can't be with those demons on those airplanes. What about those lost and dying worlds over there on the airplanes? Oh, no, we can't. No, we can't be there. No, No, we have to fly from state to state and city to city and collect big offerings. That's what we have to do. We're out to save a lost and dying world. For what? What are you preaching when you go over there? Maybe you give an altar call. Maybe you do when you go out to these places. But for the most part, all you're teaching is you're telling people about how you went to heaven and you saw Jesus and how you got a big airplane and how you got a 35,000 square foot house and how you don't have any debts. Most people out there, trust me, they wouldn't have any debts either if they were collecting even from 50 people 10% of their income, even from 10 people. Even if you had a little church and you were collecting 10% from 10 people, you'd probably be making out okay. But that's not faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. You can brag all you want. Two ridiculous people, Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis. So how do people learn anything from these people? How do they learn anything? They don't even know what they're talking about themselves. They're making merchandise of God's people. And that's all they're doing. Now, here's more of Jesse Duplantis on giving.
Now, this is red. This is red, just red everywhere. Say it again. Alms is the only giving not given to God, but to mankind. Its motivation is compassion. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. I want you to remember that. To be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, or on television and radio or printed page or emails or e-blast. Watch this. That they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Underline that. They have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, see, so many people have understood. They say, you can't, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. That's only done on almsgiving. That's not done on tithing, and that's not done on first fruits. You can tell everybody you're a tither. You can tell everybody you're a first fruit giver. But when alms, you shut your mouth. Why? Watch this. That thy alms may be in secret. Why is that? And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Why is God tells you to give alms secretly? Write this down. Alms are given in secrecy to protect people's dignity in their crisis. And yet, most ministries worldwide always tell everybody about their alms giving. And raise money off of alms given. Show you a bloated baby. The world is so 90% of all giving to ministry is alms giving. Now, why are ministries hurting if 90% of it's always alms giving? And yet God said, when you give alms, do it in secret. Why? To protect the dignity of the individual you're giving to that is in crisis. Ooh, I wish I could get longer into this. What is the rate of return of alms? Reimbursement. Write it down. The rate of return on alms is reimbursement. How do I know that? Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. In other words, when you give to alms, you get paid back. You don't receive 30, 60, and 100 fold. Because you pity the poor, you lend it to the Lord, he shall repay. And people can't understand. See, that giving stuff don't work. Why? Because you turned your tithe into alms, you turned your first fruit into alms, and God honored you by repaying you. You changed the rate of exchange, and all of a sudden when you turn your tithe into alms, and how many times you've seen people do that? I'm going to take a portion of my tithe and I'm going to give it to this minister for almsgiving. You just shut down and change the rate of exchange. Listen to me. Watch what happens. All of a sudden, God can't rebuke the divine for your sake. Yeah, but I gave 10%. It don't make no difference if you gave 10%. You changed the rate of exchange when you changed the giving from tithe to alms. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm answering the question why your giving's not working. Why this message that's so powerful that God has given to Brother Cope on the blessing. Yeah, but I gave 10%. Yeah, but you made it alms. You switched it. So God can't rebuke the devil for your sake. He can't stop recession and depression from hitting you. And you did it publicly. And how many people you know have done that? Let me just ask the question. How many of you have? Lift your hand. I'm going to stick mine up. I did that too. And God paid me back. But I never got blessed. I never got what I call the fullness that Jerry's been talking about. Yeah, but you gave 10%. Yeah, but you changed it from a tithe to an alms. And God said, when you do that in secret. For years, I had to really explain to my board. They said, if you would tell people what you do in missions and what you... I said, no. Why? Because I'm protecting the dignity of people who are in crisis. So I do it in secret. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a tither. I'll tell you, I'm a first fruit guy. But alms, you ain't getting that out of me. Listen to me. If you take tithe, first fruits, or seed, and make it alms, write it down, you change the rate of exchange and purpose. Yet most giving is usually alms. And what does everybody talk about on television? Alms.
Yeah, well... Wow, I didn't know there was a rate of exchange. A rate of exchange, yeah. If I give to the poor, I change my rate of exchange. And if I give to the poor, if I give alms, I can't talk about it. I can't tell anybody that I'm doing that. And I'm only going to get paid back what I gave. But if I give tithes and I sow seeds, then I get 30, 60, or 100-fold. Wow, what a deal. What a deal. And then I get to brag about it too. Then I can tell you. Then I can tell you I am a tither. I am a seed sower. And look at me. Look at all the things I've accumulated in my life. Look how great I am. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of Jesus we want to follow, right? No, I don't think so. That's another Jesus. That's another gospel. Oh, please, let's try to have a reformation. Let's try, let's really try to reform this thing and get back to what the gospel really is, really the truth of the gospel. And it's like, get thee behind me, Satan, and go away with these ridiculous teachings. Oh, anyway, these are the teachers that are in demand, though. These are the teachers that are in demand. These are the teachers that live in 35,000 square foot mansions. And I think it says he only has like 6 bedrooms or 7 bedrooms. How big are the bedrooms? How big are the bedrooms? 10,000 square feet. How big are the bedrooms? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, here's Jesse Moore. Let's hear more of his teaching on seed sowing.
So in alms. And God said, when you do that in secret. For years, I had to really explain to my board. They said, if you would tell people what you do in missions and what you... I said, no. Why? Because I'm protecting the dignity of people who are in crisis. So I do it in secret. I'll tell you, I'm a tither. I'll tell you, I'm a first fruit guy. But alms, you ain't getting that out of me. Listen to me. If you take tithe, first fruits, or seed, and make it alms, write it down, you change the rate of exchange and purpose. Yet most giving is usually alms. And what does everybody talk about on television? Alms. We need to give these kids something to eat. You're moved emotionally, and God bless it. Don't miss, alms is a part of giving. But I'm not getting that blessing because you just changed the rate of exchange. He that pitieth the poor, lendeth to the Lord, I shall repay. In other words, you get reimbursed. You're not getting ahead. Seed is the surest way to stop poverty in your life. The seed is the surest way to stop poverty in your life. When Jody, my daughter, was growing up, we taught her these things. I tell you, when Jody would do something, I wouldn't even know about it, Keith. Sometimes she'd see some homeless person on the road, didn't she? She'd go buy him furniture, pay some rent for him, buy a mattress, put in there. And I'd say, I just gave you some money. Hey, Jody, where's my... she didn't want to tell me. Why? It's almsgiving. And I found out she'd done it. I said, well, bless the Lord. And she said, Dad, I just gave an offering too. So she protected the dignity of that lady in her crisis. So the seed is the surest way to stop poverty in your life. The seed is the quickest way for total debt cancellation. Write it down. Total debt cancellation. I had a wonderful testimony the other day. One of my spiritual sons, great guy. I don't mind mentioning his name. His name is Steve Allen. Believe in God to build a dome. I'm believing with him. Goes to the bank to do some bank business on a loan or something. And the vice president of the bank said, do you know Jesse the Planner? Steve Allen said, I certainly do. He's my father. Now, Steve's black. And tall. He said, he's your father. He said, yeah, don't we look alike? He said, he's my spiritual father. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he used to do business with us a long time ago. But he don't know more. He done got rich. I'm so close to filthy. I'm very close to filthy. It was such a... He said, now, for God's sake, don't go tell him you're doing this, because he'll come in here and he'll teach you to pay it off like he did us 30 years ago. We ain't made a dime on that guy in 30 years. That was a great testimony. I did that by seed. It's the surest way for debt cancellation. I don't know my credit rating. I don't know. Because I'll never use it, sir. Never. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to shock you with this. I told my daughter, I said, Jody, Jesus tarries. I go by the way of the grave. If I understand scripturally concerning these four ways of giving, in all your life, you will never spend any of your money. Any. I said, and that grandbaby of mine won't spend any of yours or hers. You, for two generations, will be spending your daddy's money. Because a good man make an inheritance for his children's children. Some of y'all don't believe that. I know. That's why your kids don't rely on you very much. You know what she told me, Bill? Daddy, spend all you got. You don't need to leave me nothing. I said, ha ha, I will not be unscriptural. The seed is the quickest way for total debt cancellation. Write this down. The seed must be put into fertile soil for it to accomplish the impossible in life. For it to accomplish the impossible in life, it's not the amount of seed, it's the soil that you sow it in. That's why every speaker, when they have an opportunity to receive the offering at a believer's convention, we are excited about it. Because we realize what's in that seed. Now, I could go 4 or 5 hours on this, but it's already 10 o'clock, and I don't want to hold you long. But are you enjoying this? But remember, but wait. If you take seed, you make it alms. Shuts it down. If you take tithe and make it alms, you shut down the virus ache, open window to heaven. Listen to me. I don't believe it. I promise you it's going to happen. But if you keep those four sections the way they should be, you won't lose anything. When everything comes, when Hurricane Katrina came, and I give God glory for it. People say, well, supposing your church would have been blown away your home. I have insurance. I can build the thing. The only reason why I got insurance is because I have to. The state of Louisiana requires that. You got to have car insurance, or they won't give you a license. You got to have insurance, common sense. But when I realized that Katrina was coming, and Bill, for years, me and Kathy and our church just would just pray them crazy storms out of here. But there was such a fear in the city of New Orleans. It was sucking it in. And it looks for the least place of resistance, because a storm can't go against a high. It only goes, you see, because it's a low pressure system. Low pressure. It starts off as a depression. If that's not devil sent, I don't know what is. So then I realized, everybody thought, we're going to get hit, and all of that. Even.
Yeah, and he didn't get any damage from Hurricane Katrina. He didn't get any damage. And you know why? Because he's got God's protection program. Notice in that audio clip that he talks about his daughter, and he says that he's telling you that when you give alms, you can't tell anybody that you did it. Otherwise, you don't get the blessing. But he says that his daughter gave somebody alms, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, I can't tell you about it." But he found out about it. Well, how did he find out about it if she didn't tell somebody? How did he find out about it? So they went against their principle there. But then he wants you to believe that, you know, she gets blessed because she gives alms, supposedly in secret, but yet he finds out about it. And he doesn't want to brag. He doesn't want to brag, but he wants to tell you that he's almost... Hi, everybody. I think I'm back. Anyway. More of Jesse. Less of Jesus, right? Less of Jesus and more of Jesse. But let's hear Jesse talk a little bit more about God's protection plan. Because, you know, Jesse has a surefire way to get God to protect you. And he even protects your air conditioner. Yeah.
In my generosity, the tithe is motivated by obedience. What are you saying, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10? I slow down, but I don't want to hold you long tonight. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase." Why? Generosity. Are you seeing that? It's wonderful not only to be a tither, but you also must be generous. First fruit shows God your gratitude for the extra blessing that he has bestowed upon you. Let me say it again. First fruit shows your gratitude to God for the extra blessing he has bestowed upon you. Now, why did he ask for the first fruit? See, of these four types of giving, three are given to God and one is given to man. But there's one that you can have an option of giving to God and giving to man, and that's the first fruit. You can give it to the temple or to the church, or you can give it to the minister, if you so desire. The Lord lets you make that decision. You see, first fruit shows God. Why? You're not in love with money. Write that down. First fruit shows God that you're not in love with money. That's why he trusts you with it. It's the first fruit. Now, this is what Brother Copeland's been preaching on the blessing. So I don't care how much you hear about the blessing. If you're not doing these things, you counteract certain things. You change the exchange rate of these four types of giving. And we'll get into that in just a minute. So first fruit shows God you're not in love with money. That's why he trusts you with it. It shows gratitude to God for the extra blessing he has bestowed upon you. Write this down. First fruit is an expression of your love for his word, and it's only done once. You just do it. First fruit is an expression of your love for his word. It's only done once. You know, you get my first fruit offering. Praise God. Bless it. Now, this is nowhere near tithing. This is just saying, God, thank you that you made me generous. I just want to let you know that I'm not controlled by money. So So I want to be a blessing. And you can give it to your church, or you can give it to your minister. There's actually 31 different references in the Bible, actually in the New Testament, concerning first fruits. In Romans chapter 11, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. 31 references in the New Testament, or actually throughout the whole Bible, concerning first fruits. So we give first fruits. Why? Because our motivation is generosity. Well, you don't have to. Well, maybe I don't have to, but it's in there. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is tithing in the New Testament? Well, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yeah, you think Jesus was a tither? Come on. Come on, don't try to twist the thing. If you want to keep the money, keep the money. And recession will hit you, and Satan will kill your air condition. Because, you see, he can't rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's why there's such a struggle about tithing in the scripture. Not in scripture, but in people. Because the devil don't want you tithing because he gets rebuked.
Oh.
Yet you try to figure out, do I pay tithe on the gross? Do I pay tithe on the net? Oh, and what's happening is he's doing everything he can through the word confusion to stop you from doing that, to the point that he tells you you can't afford to pay tithe, which you just gave him his job.
Yeah, he's a comedian, all right. Yeah, when you pay your tithe, you know the devil gets rebuked. Yeah, the devil. When God sees that money, yeah, the devil's got to get out of town. Oh, honest. And then he even wants to tell you that Jesus paid tithes. Well, if Jesus paid tithes of money, now, wouldn't you think that Jesus would have had it written down in the New Testament that he would have specifically made mention of it? He would have said, now, look, people, I pay my tithes of money to the storehouse, yet Jesus never mentioned anything like that. In fact, when he talked about tithing to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, whitewashed walls, and he said, you brag about tithing ruined mint. He didn't say money, he said herbs, which tithing was always food that was brought to a storehouse that where they stored it up for people to get food. And he said, but yet you passed the weightier matters of the law, and which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And but Jesus didn't say, now, by the way, I pay my tithes, so, and if you'll pay yours, you'll get blessed too. He's ridiculous, because after all, if Jesus was doing anything while he was on the earth, he would have certainly told you, follow my example, which he did many times when he was preaching. He would say, follow my example, be like me, but he never said, give money to some preacher so that you can get blessed, especially to your pastor, your storehouse. He never said that. So we give, it's perfectly all right to give your church money if you want to help your pastor, if you want to help your church. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as your pastor's telling you the truth about it, he's not telling you that, oh, this is some, spiritual exercise that, if you come over here on Sunday and you give me 10%, you're guaranteed to get a blessing. You're guaranteed to rebuke the devourer. You'll have debt cancellation. You'll have healing. You'll have household salvation and all that. He can't promise you any of that. He can't promise. If he promises you that, he's a liar. So you don't want to go to church where people are lying to you. Like, what's the sense? If the pastor can't even tell you the truth, then what's the sense of even going over there? Don't waste your time. But if the pastor gets up and he's a nice, good, honest, humble man, and he says, okay, we're going to take up an offering this Sunday. It's not going to God because God doesn't need any money. It's going to me. It comes to the church. It comes to the church, and we pay the bills. This is what we do with it. We fund missions. We fund our own ministers in the church. And that's what we do with the money. As long as they're being honest with you, that's fine. If they're making up fairy tales and they're telling you that you're going to get rich and all your dreams are going to come true and you're going to be out of debt, like I said in the beginning of the program, do a survey. Do a survey. I did it one time in a meeting. I said to everybody, one of my last public outings in a Word of Faith church, but I said to the people, I said, now, I'm going to take a survey here out of all the people here that have been tithing and seed sowing for many years. Would you please stand up if you're debt free? I don't even know if I had one or two people stand up, and there was a couple hundred people in the room, and they said, oh yeah, it worked. We gave and we got so much money back, and now we don't have any debts. And the way you get out of debt is, first of all, you don't make debts. You don't make debts that you can't afford. And if you make debts, like a car is not a good debt to make, because you don't get any return on your investment. It's not like an asset. It's something you have to have, but it's not really an asset. So something like real estate or investments, where you get money back, that's an asset. You make money like that. You get a good job. You get a good education. You're honest. You have integrity. You do things the right way. And eventually, through hard work and living an honest life, you'll have blessings. You'll have blessings. But that's the way it's done. You know, people can't promise you the world. And then you're going to be so disappointed. And people have even backslidden and given up on God because these people don't tell them the truth. And they give their houses away. They give their cars away. They give their children's inheritance away to some rich preacher or something. And the children get resentful. And it's really awful, some of the shipwrecked lives. Of course, you know, people are responsible, too, for learning what the Bible says and not following after these charlatans. But if we can get one point across, and we hope, you know, to make a dent into this whole ridiculous teaching, these ridiculous teachings that go on today. And it's really very, very sad. It's very, very sad because we have a messed up church. If you look at what looks like the church at large, anyway, it's messed up. But, you know, God has a people. We're not perfect. We realize that. None of us are. But we're trying. We're trying. We're trying to bring back, you know, the old-fashioned gospel, the gospel Jesus preached. And that's a very important gospel because we have people's lives are at stake. People's eternal destinies are at stake by our example, by what we tell people. And we tell people boldly, Jesus can change your life. He gives you a brand new life. He takes that old stupid life that you were living before you met him, and he gives you a brand new life. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. He gives you all those things that money can't buy. Liquor can't buy it. Heroin can't buy it. Cocaine can't buy it. Adultery can't buy it. Fornication can't buy it. None of those things can buy what Jesus can give you for free. He can give you a brand new life. He changes your life. He makes something beautiful out of that messed up life of yours. And not all the money in the world can buy you that. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask him to come into your life and to change your life. He will, and he gives you a new life. And your old thinking goes away. You get new thinking. And then you read his word, and God's word is our guidebook for life. And it takes that old mind that you had, and it renews your mind. It washes out all that junk that you had from your previous life, and you have a new way of thinking, even. You can get a whole brand new life. And you don't have to pay anybody to get that. The price has already been paid by Jesus when he died on the cross, and he gave his life for your life. The Bible says confession is made unto salvation. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You have to repent of your sins with a godly sorrow and ask him to be your master. And he will. He will. You'll see, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But don't believe these phony preachers. It's sad. I want to apologize for them. Don't believe them. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, right? Right. So anyway, that's our program for today. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to come back next week. If you want to contact me, please contact me, Susan@propheticnews.com. And our website, Prophetic News, our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio. Our book, don't forget our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on quite a few bookstores. And also, I want to say hello to all my listeners in the United Kingdom. Hi, everybody. Our listeners in Canada, our listeners in Australia, South Africa, Malaysia, Singapore, China, and all over, wherever you're listening, any place in the world. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Okay? God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.